I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me.
I do want to say real quickly, thank you for your prayers for me and for Kim and for our family too. And the Lord's answering prayers as we're getting better and praying the Lord continue to keep his hand upon us. Pray for me as we're trying to figure out changes in diet and those kind of things too as part of this process. And for Kim, that she can be patient too with me as we're trying to figure out not only what can we eat, but how you have to cook it and all those things too, because it's a lifestyle change. And so with that, we would be glorifying to him in our public and private life over this. So, you know, I told someone earlier, and I'll share with you a little bit more too, but I really feel like there was a lesson in all of this too, is we often wonder why we go through things, but I think the Lord allows to go through those things quite often that we can better identify with others, and we can also know better how to pray for them as we go through the experiences that we go through in life as well. As we're continuing our study, it's been a delay. It's been 3 weeks since I've been in the pulpit because of the illness, but I wanted Josh to have the opportunity to preach last week and to share his heart, what God is doing in the life of his family and the plans that God has for them. We thankfully have celebrated 13 years here last week together, and we thank you for that, the time together as well. As I debated about the order of the services for this series on the five pillars of marriage, I preached first on listen to each other. And I debated really closely because this message down, listen to God, is extremely important. And I think, first of all, we need to individually listen to God first. But I think as we become one as husband and wife, we need to listen to each other as well. And so both are extremely important. And I know for ladies sometimes it's a little bit easier to get into that mode of wanting to listen. But for men, sometimes we like to do the talking, but we're not always good at stopping to listen in the ways that we should and give the time that we should for our spouses to formulate the things of their heart, the things that the Lord has begun to speak to them about. And yet we want to be sensitive and we want to be in tune with what is going on in their lives, but just in the business of trying to provide and those things, a lot of times we don't really dedicate the time that we need to do that. But one of the things we need to do is build that time into our lives where that we take the time to meet with God and listen to God, and we make the time to listen to our spouse also, not just in passing. And sometimes I think because we're so anxious to respond, we don't even fully hear what they said or hear correctly what they said sometimes. And that may cause some of the issues that we have in our marriages sometimes because we're not communicating as clearly as we need to. And part of that is by learning to listen. We're very good at talking, but we need to learn to listen to one another as well and listen to God. And so as we look at listening to God, I'm so thankful that God has a plan for each of our lives. And for those that are followers of God, that means that we have not only received the gift of salvation and we've acknowledged Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but we've also acknowledged him as Lord of our lives. And that with that, that we would surrender our will to his will and we would submit to his authority over our lives to do what it is that he wants us to do. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes as a pastor in a church, when you are given invitations and asking people saying, listen, we need help in certain areas and we need people to step up and serve in these ways to use your gifts and talents is pretty frustrating sometimes when you know that some of the things you're asking for is more of your availability, not necessarily even that you got to have all these extra talents and things to do. It's just I would make myself available to serve the Lord and to serve the body of Christ. And yet we're stubbornly saying to him, Lord, even as he's telling you, you can do this, or I want you to do this, is no, Lord, I don't want to do that. How often do we tell God no because of what we want rather than surrendering to his will? You know, as we come to our study today, we want to talk about listening to the Lord. And I want to begin in Psalm 32, verse 8. And I'm not going to do a Bible drill today, so you can turn there if you want to, but I'm going to share with you these scriptures. In Psalm 32, verse 8, the Lord said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. You know, as we hear that, the thing we understand is that the Lord speaks to us. Now, we read in the scriptures where he spoke to those in the Old Testament. We read where he spoke to those in the New Testament, and for some, you may question whether or not he speaks to you today, but he does. The question really is, are we listening for him? Because if you're not listening for him, you're not going to hear him, and you're not going to respond to him accordingly. It's just like your spouse. If you're not really trying to listen to what they got to say because you've got something else on your mind and not focused on what they're saying, you're not going to hear what they say, and you're not going to respond to it accordingly. And so we need to think about, first of all, that the Lord speaks to us and that he has a plan for our lives. And so with that, if we are followers of Christ, we should desire and have a great desire to not only want to know what God's plan is for our lives, but to hear that plan out and then follow that plan. You know, a lot of times when somebody says, you know, I just don't know what the will of God is for my life, I question sometimes, well, first of all, are you in the Word? Are you spending time alone in prayer? And when you pray, are you listening more than you're talking? You see, because a lot of times what happens is when we come to the Lord in prayer is that we come to him with all of our needs, all of our wants, all of our desires. We're sharing with him all these things that he already knows, and it's fine to share those with him. But as we're going to see in just a little bit, there's a way that we come to him first to acknowledge who he is and to worship him more so than just who he is and what he can give us or what he can do for us, but that we come to him with a heart desiring, first of all, to worship him. You know, when you got up this morning, for a lot of you, you were probably beginning to already think about, well, I wonder what the message is going to be today and what scripture we're going to be in. Or you may have thought about what the songs would be and what are we going to be singing, and is it songs I like, is it not songs I don't like, or all those things that people get into. Let me just say this, is the first thing when you get up in the morning, we should acknowledge God and thank him, first of all, for who he is and the fact that he has given us breath and he has given us life and he's given us health to be able to come today and to be here to worship him. When we start with that mindset of a big God instead of a small God, first of all, and we begin to look at the fact that whatever may come our way, that he will help us through that. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but that he will help us through that and to overcome those things. When we begin to look at it through those lens and those eyes towards God, we trust him in all things and we look expectantly to him and turn to him for that purpose, to meet with him and worship with him each and every day. You know, I think about Moses is when the Lord would speak to him and he would lay out for him the plans for the people of Israel there. And you know, we kind of wish that when we read that a lot of times. Well, Lord, I just wish you'd tell me what all the plans are and what we're going to do. And you just tell me one thing that I'm supposed to do, and I don't know what goes beyond that. You know what that is? That's a test of faith. And we all are tested in our faith that hopefully will also come through on the other side, strengthened in our faith. But it begins with listening to God and trusting God. And here it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. God has a certain path, a way that he wants us to go in life that is according to his will. And I want to tell you now that when you follow that path that he has for each of us, it's not always easy. You're going to have to climb some mountains sometimes, and sometimes you're going to go through some dark valleys. But the one thing about it is he's going to be leading you and guiding you and with you the whole time if you're following him. We can go through up those same rough climbs up those mountains, and we can go through those same dark valleys when we don't listen to God and we want to rebel and go do things our way. But I'm going to tell you, the one thing that's comforting is to know that when we're following him and we're in his will, no matter what we face, he's going to be right there with us and help us in our time of need. And that he has a plan and a purpose for that he might be glorified and others might be drawn to him through our lives, through our witness and our testimony. And so it begins with that instruction of following the Lord. The next thing I want to read to you is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Now, a lot of you are familiar with that scripture, but the thing that begins with, as we've talked about so far, is trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, true faith and true belief begins, first of all, with believing that he is the Son of God, that he lived a sinless life, he went to the cross and died for your sin and my sin, that he was raised on the third day, and he ascended to heaven with the promise that one day he's going to come back for us and that we're going to be with him. And with that, we will have eternal life together. We'll be resurrected from the dead. And so you have to have a complete trust in your heart in the Lord to believe him for salvation. And let me just say, for some, sometimes it's a little easier for us to try to, I guess, segment or compartmentalize in our minds, or to try to justify the reason for our rebellion or whatever it may be, to say, Lord, I believe you with all my heart for my salvation. But I really now hear a kind of question about for my sustenance or my provision or my daily life or my protection or whatever it may be, is that you feel like you have to do something. You're the only one that can do something. And folks, I want to tell you, when we begin to fall into that trap, we're not trusting God with all of our heart. We're beginning to rely upon self and flesh, and we're rebelling against God. But we need to listen to God and lean not on our own understanding. He says, you know, when we start trying to get into things that we have to do or we're the only ones can do it, we're leaning on our understanding at that point. But it says, in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Twice now we have been told, I will direct the way you go. But he says, and I will direct you with my eye. He keeps his eye on us and he sees everything that we're doing. He knows every part of us, every intimate idea, every thought, everything we've said, everything we've done. He knows those things. And yet he is seeking to direct us and lead us and guide us if we will follow him and listen to him. Now, as we're talking about for couples, I want to say to you is this, you know, we need to spend time in prayer. We need to listen to the Lord individually. But also, as we are thinking about that relationship with the Lord, we need to think about a relationship with our spouse too. And we need to spend time with our spouse listening to them and their heart and their concerns. And they may be different from what our concerns are, men, but at the same time, they're real concerns. They're real issues that they're dealing with. And we need to begin to lift up those thoughts in prayer to the Lord and ask him to help us and guide us in how we're to try to overcome these things or try to help our wives to overcome the things that are concerns for them that are weighing on their hearts. Is because, you know, when you talk about a man, he's generally looking at, if I can provide for my family, if I can lead my family spiritually, hopefully that's on your mind. You realize you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of the household and you have a responsibility not only for your well-being spiritually, but also for your family, is that you're involved in those things with spiritually within the family too. It's not just left up to the mom to have to be the one to read with them, pray with them, teach them about God, but you're doing that, setting that example. But for the wife, a lot of time it's the nurturing and the care and the provision is there, the shelter, all those things that are needed for her and for the family, that security of being in a home and knowing that they're being taken care of. But with that comes concerns if there's an issue in those areas. And you may be aware of it, but you may view it a little different. It's like it's not that important. But if it's important to her, it should be important to you. Because the thing you think about is when you made those vows and you came together is you became one. So now it's a part of you that has a concern to lift up to the Lord. And you should be focusing on those needs and beginning to pray for them and listening for the Lord to lead. And I want to share very clearly is when the Lord speaks to a couple, when they're drawn together and they come together, become husband and wife, he doesn't tell the husband to do this and the wife to do something different. He brings them together as one, and they are one together. And with that, he speaks to both of them to guide them together. And I'm just going to use Josh and Elizabeth a little bit as an illustration of this. As the Lord was beginning to deal with them about the possibility of serving in ministry and serving full time, Josh had his set of concerns that he began to pray about. Elizabeth had her own concerns that she was beginning to pray about. But the one thing that was clear was the Lord made it clear to both of them is he was calling them as a family and as a couple to step out and leave the comfort of where they're at, even though they serve and they're faithful servants in the church, but that he had a new role for each of them and he had a new job for them to do. And that with that, for them to have to respond. Now, with that, Josh is trying to work out his own things about that with Lord. You know, I'm supposed to be a provider and all these other things. I want to be obedient and I want to answer the call. Elizabeth's then thinking about it too. I didn't sign on maybe to be a preacher's wife. And, you know, I was fine with him working in the world and to being a teacher and all those things. But then the other side of it, she didn't sign on for him to be a deacon necessarily either. She didn't know what it was when she married. She didn't know what the Lord held in those things. But we've seen them grow in their service to the Lord, but it came about through listening to him individually, but then coming together and listening to him too. And what we're talking about is communication. And what we're talking about is prayer. And this sermon is really about prayer as much as it is anything. And as we're talking about that, again, it's not so much what you're saying, but what you're listening to God and hearing, and then your response to God in hearing what he has for you to do. And so the Lord will guide your path. He will lead you and direct you in the way that you're to go. If so long as you remember the prayer there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And folks, a lot of times we want God to move heaven and earth to answer our prayers for our needs, our desires, our wants. When some of our loved ones are sick and all those things, we're on our knees, we're on our face praying, Lord, would you move heaven and earth to heal this person and to save them from death, physical death. But let me ask you this. How often do we pray first, Lord, may you be lifted up. May your name be glorified. May your kingdom be added to daily. And Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in my life, and in the life of my spouse, and in my children. You see, too often we're just desiring the things we want, and we're not really thinking about God as who he is, as Almighty God. We're thinking of him as like the gift giver for all the things that we want, almost like Santa Claus. And you know, Santa Claus comes once a year for those who believe. But you know, with that thing, I look at it as Christ is there every single day for those of us who believe. And he is the gift giver. He is the one who opens the heavens above and pours out a blessing from above. But let me just say this. We need to come, first of all, with a heart of worship as a worshiper of God, desiring to meet with him and exalt him and acknowledge him. When Jesus taught that prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's the disciples' prayer. When he taught that prayer to his disciples, he didn't say, pray for these folks. He didn't say, pray for yourselves. He said, exalt the Father in this way first. Then he came to us and said, pray for our daily bread. Lord, forgive us our sins and those who sin against us. As you know, as we think about those things, is he's saying there's a place for you to ask for those things along the way. The Lord knows that you have need of them or what you're desiring. And it's okay to come to him and ask for those things, but it's kind of like when we were a child and we come running up and we don't say, hey, Daddy, I love you. Thank you for just being so good to us and working and providing for us and all things. But you come and say, Daddy, I want $10 because I want some candy. You know, and how does your dad feel when he's like, well, I'm just a provider for you, but I'm not the one that loves you in your eyes. I'm not the one that helps you and that listens to you and is there for you. I'm just there being used by you in a sense to be a bank. You see, sometimes we go to God the Father that way. And we need to examine ourselves and prepare ourselves because God does have a plan for us and there's a certain way he wants to guide us to it. We need to listen to him to find out what that way is. The second thing is when Jesus speaks, he wants us to listen. I want to read to you some passages of scripture from the book of Mark, beginning in chapter 4. I'm not going to exposit and go into all the different scriptures here and what's the background and everything, but beginning in chapter 4, beginning in verses 1 through 4, it's the parable of the sower. And again, he said, he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. He taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came and devoured. And he goes on with the parable. But notice the first thing he says in verse 3 is listen as he addressed them. And then if you go to verses 23 and 24 in chapter 4, he says here, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said in verse 24, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. And in chapter 7, verse 14, he says here, when he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear me, everyone, and understand. You see, when the Lord is speaking to us, we need to stop what we're doing and listen. And I know sometimes in the business of life, we think, well, Lord, I missed it. I didn't hear you. But we're the ones that make our lives busy setting the schedules that we set. Somewhere we need to discipline ourselves to say that Christ is first in my life. He's my first love. Now just think about this. Is Christ really your first love? How much time do we spend a week reading God's word? How much time a week do we spend in prayer and meditation over God's word and what he may be speaking to us? If we treated our spouses the way that we treat God, would he even know that we love him? You see, one of the greatest things that we can give to our spouse and to our children is our time that we spend with them, listening to them, being with them, loving them, expressing that love to them by listening to them and hearing their hearts and their desires and their passions that they have for life. Well, let me just say too, if that's the way it is, humanly speaking, with our spouse, if we're the bride of Christ as the body of Christ, how much more so that with the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to spend time with him and listening to him through the reading of his word and through prayer and listening to him speak into our hearts and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. I know I scare some of you Southern Baptists when I'm talking about Holy Spirit here, but he is a part of the Trinity of Godhead, and so you need to understand he has a great role in as our teacher, as our counselor, as our guide, as the one who reveals the things of God, also who convicts us of our sin. And so when we're praying and we're meditating upon the word and we're listening, the Holy Spirit interacts and works in that way to confirm what the word has been telling us and what the Lord is telling us that he desires for us to do, be a part of his kingdom and serving him. But let me just say, as he's doing that too, he directs us too as how we are to lovingly be a servant and help minister to our spouses. You know, when I had that attack on that Saturday, we were here getting ready for basketball, just going through the normal pace of life. Vans were parked out here, and it was calling for snow and rain. I told Norman Katz, I said, if you don't mind, let's go out here and let's move these vans down on the lower end. And so scraped off right in front of the, where it was frozen over, right in front of the driver's side, pulled it down. I felt fine. I got it out of that van, and immediately I had severe pain right here. And then up in my back, in the very between my shoulder blades. And he immediately says, preacher, I hate to tell you this, but you may be having a heart attack. This is symptoms my dad had when he was having a heart attack. And I'm like, Norman, don't say that. Let's just go in. It'll pass. It'll be all right, right? But as we came inside, it didn't get better. It got worse. And my bride looked at me across the court, and she said, what's wrong with you? And I was like, nothing. I'm okay. It'll pass. You know, I didn't want to tell her. I didn't want to go anywhere. Like, it'll just pass. I went into the kitchen, I sat down, I broke out in a pure sweat, and she's like, you need to go to the hospital. And she said, we'll call an ambulance. I said, you crazy? It'll take 45 minutes here, an hour there to get there. I could be dead. Let's get in the car and go. Then I had a heart attack, and she was driving to the hospital. But you know, I listened to my wife, but I knew her concern was for me. Well, if we know that with our spouse, and we know that God desires the best for us, why do we not listen to him? He says, listen, behold, pay attention, look to me. And then he goes on to even warn and said, listen, be careful what you do listen to. And it'll be measured out to you as well in the way that you measure it out In other words, if you take heed and you take God's counsel, He will bless you and you will be blessed. Does that mean that life is going to be easy and everything's going to be great and everything's going to be happy? And all? No, not necessarily. See, that's the way people look at it as Christianity. It's like, well, that means I won't get sick. I won't have any major illnesses. My family won't die. What world are you living in? Reality is those things happen because we live in a sin-marred world. That means it is full of sin, and it's even in us. And until we get to heaven, we won't ever get over that and be affected by it. Okay? But the thing is we need to listen to God and we need to hear Him and follow Him because He has a plan for us and He says, listen when I speak. And the last thing is, how do we pray? You know, as I think about that, I think about that model prayer there in Matthew chapter 6. Is that we do pray, hallowed be thy name. Lord, may you be exalted in my life, in the life of my wife and my children. Your kingdom come. Is that the Lord's kingdom would be lived out as we're part of that kingdom through us, even here on this earth until He comes. That it'll be on earth as it is in heaven. And you know what? We still have a part to play in impacting this culture that we live in. Now, I know right now there's a lot of talk about social justice. There's a lot of talk about socialism and all these things. The Bible doesn't tell us that we're supposed to be a part of those things. Social justice, absolutely, yes, but it'll be the Lord's justice that guides it. But what I'm saying is this, is that our focus is upon Him and that we're being transformed and our minds are being renewed and we're being changed. That we're not the same as we were before we met Christ. We are not even the same as we were yesterday or the day before if we're walking with Christ and we're following Him and He's guiding us. But that we're being changed more to His image. But not only us, but that we're witnessing to those around us and we're pouring into brothers and sisters in Christ as the Lord is working in our heart, that we begin to lay out what He's doing in our lives and share that with others. And they too are challenged and their lives are changed. But then for those that don't know Him, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't have any reason to even want to think about being a Christian. You say, well, why would you say that? Well, I know a bunch of them and they're just like me when they're out in the world. You see, we sometimes are the biggest obstacles to people coming to Christ. We can be the greatest advancement of them coming to Christ through being that messenger, being faithful to the Lord and being that witness and all those things. But if we're not following God and we're not listening to God and we're not obedient to Him, we can turn many away. And we're going to have to answer for that one day. But when we listen to God and we hear Him and we follow Him, He blesses our lives. He blesses our marriages. He blesses our families. So if we know those things, why would we then refuse to hear? There's a couple of reasons. There's one, we really believe that He doesn't speak today in the same way He did before, maybe. I'm going to tell you, He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that with that, nothing is impossible with God, and nothing is too large that He can't overcome. He's more powerful. He's all-knowing. And so we don't need to fall into that trap. The other thing is, maybe it's because of our sinful, rebellious nature, is that because of sin that we're in that we don't want to give up or whatever it is that we just don't want to hear because we're going to be convicted. Okay? The other I mentioned to you before is you don't want to hear from because you're afraid He's going to tell you to do something that you don't want to do. Well, let me just tell you what that's called when you say no to the Lord in that way. It's called sin. Okay? Because if He is Lord of our lives and He rules over our lives, He purchased and bought us, He is our master. And when he says, do it, you don't tell the master no. You say, yes, sir. It's a good thing when you were talking about reporting for duty last week, is we need to be reminded of the fact, and it's not real popular and tolerated today to talk about being a member of the army of the Lord today. Because people think you're some crazy fanatic. But let me just say this is if you belong to him, you should be a part of the army of the Lord too. You should be willing to stand up and unashamedly say, Jesus Christ is Lord. There's no other God. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other way of being saved apart from faith in him. And believe that in your heart and be willing to share that with anybody. But the other thing is that we get our lives so busy and so complicated that we set aside our first love. You know, Paul wrote a whole letter about that, of a church that put aside their first love, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a church's revelation. I pray that this church never has to hear those kind of words from the Lord to condemn us in the sense of saying, you have forgotten me. I hope in our homes and our marriages, we never have to hear those words at any point, but that we would humble ourselves, get together on our knees and pray, Lord, speak to us. And whatever you tell us to do, Lord, here I am to do what you want me to do. You know, it starts with a couple. You may need to have your individual time, and I think it's a good thing to have your individual time of devotion. But I think also you need to come together and have devotion together. You need to begin to pray for each other and with each other. And as you have children, bring your children into that prayer time and have devotion with them and pray with them. Now, I wish I could stand here and tell you that I've been faithful to do that all the time or regularly in the ways I'd like to. But I haven't. But I've tried. And I've failed. And I have to try again. We're human. We all know that. But that the family that prays together stays together. You want to make a difference in your relationship with your children and their behavior? Let them begin to hear your heart praying for them. And praying your heart's desire for them of blessing and the Lord's blessing upon them and just knowing that they're walking with him. Let your spouse hear you pray for them, not only just for sickness, but for their situations and their job or the concerns that they have or whatever it may be. You know, as Sunday came around, I was there with the pain and the medications and the different things. I couldn't focus to read my Bible. And so Kim said, what do you want me to read to you? I said, yeah, I do. To read to one another the Word of God. She didn't preach. She didn't expound on it. I didn't preach to her. But just simply reading a devotion together of reading God's Word. I want to tell you something. It changed everything as we began to get into the Word. I didn't feel the pain as much anymore. I started wanting to try to get better. I started wanting to try to do things. You know, I was sharing earlier. It's one of the things that I think that when our circumstances come around, sometimes we don't want to listen to God either, is we need to understand that when something happens, instead of saying, woe's me or why me, Lord, we need to ask, Lord, what are you trying to tell me through this? What is it that you want me to share with someone else? You know, as our testimonies get added to in different ways, and as he adds that testimony, sometimes there's some painful experiences in that testimony being added to. But he does that we can then identify with others who are going through that to hopefully encourage them and know better how to pray with them, but also so that we can then understand what it's like to go through some of these situations and just be a witness for him too of how he helped get us through it. And sometimes we take that for granted. I'm thankful for the doctors and nurses and had some good ones. But I know it's the Lord Jesus Christ who healed my body. In the midst of that attack down there at the ER, I'm sitting there grabbing on that bed and squeezing that bed. and pouring sweat, and I'm saying, "Dear Jesus, please help me, Lord, please help me." And they come in the middle, "We got to take an X-ray." "Oh, and by the way, we need to do an EKG while you're in the middle of this, and you got to be still." Well, I'm sitting there squeezing, trying to be still, and finally the guy doing X-ray says, "You're going to have to be quiet." And I said, "Let me tell you something. This conversation between me and Jesus ain't going to end until he relieves my pain, because you ain't doing nothing for me." Amen. But you know, it's just that understanding that comes about that when we listen to the Lord, we can miss those lessons in life that he's trying to teach us and give us opportunity about if we're not listening to him. So I encourage you, as we come together as a family, as we come together as a church family, every week I keep asking, please come down and pray. Come down and maybe God's going to share with you. You think, "Well, I don't know if anybody to pray for. I can pray for the sick or whatever." But it may be just the Lord, when you get at altar, that he says, "This is what I want for you. This is a word for you today." And as you're listening to him, he challenges you in some way to grow closer to him and more in his image as we are following him obediently. But as you do so too, don't forget, together as families, as wives and husbands, as we close today, I want to ask, as we're talking about prayer and talking about communication, as this altar is open, I want to ask husbands and wives to come together and pray with and for your spouse. And pray God's blessing on them. And listen to their prayer for you as they pray in their heart for you too. I'll tell you, if you've never done it, it'll change your life. It'll change your relationship with the Lord. It'll change your relationship with your spouse to do just that. So if you would, let us stand. And for all those that would come, husbands and wives, if you want to just ask, just come and pray together here at the altar.